Nazi TV.
Yeah, Romans 12, 2 and 3 seems to be a problem with what I said yesterday, but it's not. And I'm going to explain that to you. We talked about James and how he was super careful and make sure you say, if the Lord is willing, we will go to Jericho, or we will go to Magdala to visit Mary, or we will go to Caesarea, if the Lord is willing. Paul doesn't bother saying if the Lord is willing. It doesn't mean he doesn't believe it. It's just taken for granted. He's not so careful because he is confident that living in him is Christ. And he doesn't worry that there's some remnant of the old I that evaded the crucifixion and it's going to come up and do the boogeyman thing and cancel out his life in Christ. And Paul's the guy who says to be living is Christ. I love that verse, Philippians 1. 21. Welcome to MCTV. This is Martin Sender, voted the world's most outspoken Bible scholar almost unanimously, 4 out of 5. I don't know. The fifth guy, he's watching the show now. As soon as he changes his mind, I'm gonna do a little boasting in the flesh. I'm sorry. Speaking of boasting in the flesh, we can't do it anymore because we're so aware that it's not us doing any of this. And this has to do with the old humanity being crucified. Yeah, I'm going to go to Romans 12. Okay, what verse does it look like? It goes against what I was saying. Paul says in verse 2 of Romans 12, do not be configured to this eon, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind for you to be testing what is the will of God, good and well, pleasing and perfect. Now, I want to tell you what Paul's not saying here. I mean, he's saying exactly what he's saying, testing. In order to test it, you have to do it. And you don't know it's the will of God unless it happens. That's different than waiting. It's the opposite of waiting for the will of God. And that's what we used to do, some of us, when we were Christians. We were waiting on the Lord, waiting on the Lord. And that's what they did in the Old Testament, to be honest with you. I mean, it's a scriptural concept. Wait on the Lord. Wait for the Lord. What are you waiting for? A voice? A skywriting? A dream? What exactly are you waiting for? Exactly. How about having confidence that God is the God of all your circumstances and he's the God of your thoughts and that God gives to all life and breath and all, so that if you have a thought based on your circumstances and you act upon it to the best of your knowledge, to the best of your ability, in the best way you can, whether it's a good way or a bad way, then that is God's will. And that is testing what is the will of God, good and well-pleasing and perfect. Testing it. It's going forward. There are no green lights for those who have been crucified with Christ. You don't wait for a green light. But God will bring you plenty of red lights. Oh, he loves the red lights. He loves them. And he's very capable of bringing them to stop you when you're doing something crazy. He will stop you. And I don't recommend doing anything crazy. But again, if you act upon an impulse, let's say, and you do something crazy, then it's a spawn of the circumstance and the way your brain is working at this time. And after a thing's done, you couldn't have done anything else. So that's how we test what the will of God is. As soon as it happens, then that was the will of God. Obviously, because it happened. But we don't know if it's the will of God until we test it, until we do it. And then when it's done, it's the will of God. And this is confirmed in verse 3, for I'm saying through the grace which is given to me to everyone who is among you, not to be overweening, that is overthinking beyond what your disposition must be, but to be of a sane disposition as God parts to each the measure of faith. God doesn't give the same amount of faith to everybody. And so you have to find what your measure of faith is. And you might want to try to be like somebody who has a lot of faith. And so you try to do things that you shouldn't do because your faith is not up to it. Because you were trying to imitate somebody else's faith. So you test the will of God, you feel uncomfortable, and that's a line then. That's a line. You just tested what the will of God was. It's the opposite of waiting around to see what it is. So Galatians 2:20, I touched on this yesterday, but I just love this verse. This is the secret to everything. This is the secret to living a life that is carefree. There's been a guy making comments. I don't know who this is, but this man is obsessed with sin. He keeps making comments, quoting scriptures about sin. I can't figure out what he's trying to say. He's trying to say we should all stop sinning. Yeah, that's good advice for anybody. Or if he's saying we shouldn't say that we're sinners at all, I don't know. But to be obsessed with sin is to be obsessed with self. To be obsessed with self is constantly to second guess yourself. Second guess, because the old way we used to think was there's my will and there's Christ's will. And Christ wants one thing for my life, but I want another thing. You see, that was the old I era. Christ wants one thing. I want a different thing. It's a clash of the wills. And according to Christianity, the human will being stronger than God's will, because the human will can refuse salvation, even though God wills all humanity to be saved, to come to a realization of the truth, 1 Timothy 2, 4 through 6. No, don't worry about that. You can will otherwise. That's what they believe. But there's kind of a remnant of that once in a while when we think that God is doing, when Christ has a will and I have a will, and there the two shall meet. But that was the old I. The old I has been crucified. I'm going to go through that with you in more specificity than I did yesterday in Galatians 2:20. The old I has been crucified, so you don't have to worry about it anymore. You just do what your hand finds to do. You act upon the thoughts that you have based on the maturity level you have, based on the faith that you have. And that's the will of God. You don't need to stop and ask, is this God's will? Is this God's will? Again, what are you waiting for? A voice? A vision? A dream? Skywriting? God doesn't speak to us in those ways. He did before. So back in the old days, they waited for the word of a prophet. So that was legitimate back in the old days. But now the Spirit of God makes its home in us. It didn't used to do that. It used to make its home in Jerusalem, in the temple, between the wings of the cherubim, in the Holy of the Holies. That's where God made it. So that's where the Spirit of God lived. That was the old days. God's done something different. But Israel still doesn't see past that, really. But we do. Our old humanity was crucified. So we don't have a wrestling match anymore. And so what a free way to live. Not have to worry anymore about, is this my thing? Am I just doing my thing? And Christ doesn't want me to do that. You know, Christ is a big boy. He's smart enough and strong enough to stop me. So if I really feel like I'm supposed to do something, I just do it. And Christ is flattered by that. This guy, he's just going for it. He trusts that I'm directing his thoughts. He trusts that I am operating all things in accord with the counsel of the will of God. And he's just going for it. And he trusts me enough to know that I'm on the job and I'm going to put a big stop sign in the road if he's not supposed to do this. I like this guy. That's what Christ says. I like this guy. But then here's this trepidatious Christian over here. They're tiptoeing. See what the will of God is. And Jesus is rolling his eyes. What do they want from me? A vision? A voice? A dream? And, you know, he just build an ark, why don't you? Or bring your little turtle dove to Jerusalem. It's not the way God operates now. With Christ have I been crucified, yet I am living. No longer I, but living in me is Christ. Now that which I am now living in flesh, I am living in faith that is of the Son of God. How many times do we read the pronoun I here? Let me count them. With Christ have I been crucified, one, yet I am living, two, no longer I, three, but living in me is Christ. Okay, no I there. Now that which I am now living in the flesh, that's four, I am living in faith that is of the Son of God. Five uses of the word I, but they're different. They're not all the same. The first I is, with Christ have I been crucified. That I is the old humanity. With Christ have I been crucified, yet I am living. So you are living subsequent to the old humanity being crucified. So that's the new I. No longer I, going back to with Christ have I been crucified. So that's the old I. So we're starting with the old I. There's the new I, and then the old I, again, referring back to with Christ have I been crucified, no longer I, but living in me is Christ. Now that which I am now living in flesh, this is the new I am living in faith. And everything I've been talking about has to do with faith. Faith that God is on it. Faith that, absolutely speaking, you can't make a misstep. And even if relatively you make a mistake and screw something up badly, that was the will of God for your life. Once it happens, you just tested the will of God. And actually, you know, it was the will of God. Testing the will of God is not the same as waiting for the will of God. So discerning the will of the Lord comes through action, comes through doing, not through waiting. It's the opposite of waiting. And, you know, in Philippians 4:6, Paul says, don't worry about anything. I think the King James says, don't be careful for anything. Or one version says, don't be careful about anything. Don't worry about anything. And that's a life that I am living. And I hope you are too. If not, I want to encourage people to live this way, because it is a great compliment to Christ that you live this way, not being careful anymore. Okay, my wife had a cousin back in the day named Marge. And Marge was very, very concerned about me. Why, Elmer? Well, she thought you were a little bombastic. You know, she thought I was vaunting myself over Christ because of some of my writings when I started doing my own newsletter. When I first wrote my first newsletter, The Idle Babbler Illustrated, I was writing very circumspectly, very carefully. I was imitating Ray Prinzing completely. And then I had the revelation out in the woods that day that I could be myself. I didn't really know perfectly about the new creation yet, but this coincides perfectly with the new creation. I realized that I could be myself. And then when I did find out about the new creation, oh, well, there it is. There it is. The life that I now live. So I'm still, the tricky part is you're still using the pronoun I. But it's the difference between the old I and the new I. They couldn't be more different, even though it's the same freaking letter of the alphabet. And Paul is demonstrating that here. This is a weird thing with Christ. If I've been crucified, wait a minute, yet I am living. Well, wait a minute, it's no longer I, but living in me is Christ. Gee, that takes faith. Well, yeah, that which I am now living in flesh, I am living in faith. That is of the Son of God. So Marge thought I was a little glory-seeking or something. It's sad. I don't know what Marge is doing now, but Marge was instrumental in introducing me to the Concordant Publishing Concern. But she didn't really believe any of the teachings of the Concordant Publishing Concern, apart from the salvation of all and the sovereignty of God. But there was a writer back in the day called Bill Britton, and she was hot on Bill Britton. And I guess Bill Britton had a ministry that was going strong, but then something happened. He fell. He became involved. I don't know. Maybe it was a Jimmy Swaggart, Jim Baker type of thing. I don't know. But Marge told me why it happened. You want to hear this? Are you ready for this? Okay. Marge told me, when God gave the ministry to Bill Britton, it's Britton, if you want to look him up. He said, don't touch the glory. I'll never forget Marge telling me this. Don't touch the glory. And I think it was a little clue that I, Martin Zender, was touching the glory. And Bill Britton apparently touched the glory. So the glory was over there, and Bill Britton was over here. The glory of Christ and God was over there. But Bill Britton, that nasty little man, was over here. And I think Marge was saying, you're touching the glory. And I already knew Paul's gospel by then. I already knew the new humanity. And at that point, I couldn't even wrap my head around the possibility that I could steal some kind of glory from God, as if it were even possible. Don't touch the glory. I think I laughed in her face because of the absurdity of it. The glory is inside of me. It's Christ's glory. And it's what allows me and all of us to be ourselves. See, but Marge never saw the crucifixion of the old I, so she was always worried about the old man, the Adamic self coming up and taking over. The old Adamic self is going to touch the glory, and the man's going to go to ruin. Wait a minute. You're still dealing with the old humanity here? I'm past all that. I don't have to worry about any of that. There's no chance that I'm going to steal some glory from God. Living in me is God. Living in me is Christ. Where I go, they go. Touch the glory. The glory lives inside of me. I just couldn't understand it. Don't touch the glory. Apparently, Marge thought I was touching the glory. Am I that powerful? Wow. Boy, the power they give to the old humanity. The old humanity, the old I that was crucified with Christ, apparently is still so powerful that it can wreck everything you have if you touch the glory. But for me to touch the glory would have to be out here. But Christ is living in me. I'm not saying I'm Christ. I hope I shouldn't even have to say that. It's embarrassing that I have to say it, but I'm not saying that at all. It's just that there's a oneness. Can I say that? Of course I can. Between us and Christ. We're brethren. Spirit of God makes its home in me. Spirit of Christ makes its home in me. It's a compliment to God in Christ that I feel this unity. And I feel it with you too. And Paul says, no longer I, but living in me is Christ. There it is. He says it. Living in me is Christ. So if Christ is living in me, and if all the glory is Christ, how can I touch the glory? You see what I mean? It's nonsense. But that told me that Marge was still in the old creation. Marge thought I was too funny. Yeah, she actually thought I was too funny. You're being too much of a showman. You're being too much of a show off. You're touching the glory. I'm just having fun. I'm just being myself. Maybe. Yeah, she thought I was too funny. And there's a guy in Colorado, I'm not even kidding you about this, who thought I was becoming too famous. I'm not going to mention the name of this guy. He was once on board, but then he just went crazy. Something happened to him. I don't know what happened to him. But he thought that I was becoming too popular. I said, boy, if I'm becoming too popular, if I'm concentrating on becoming popular, I'm doing a pretty crappy job of it. I told him this. We were walking in Colorado. And he vented his concerns to me. And I had a flashback to Marge. Martin, you're touching the glory. You're trying to take the glory to yourself. I was like, what? Well, your book covers, for instance. I swear this is a conversation we had. They're just too fancy. They're too nice. They're too artistic. You're touching the glory. Okay, so what should I do? You know me. What should I do? Have a black cover or spill paint on the cover? And I mean, what do you want me to do? And your name is on the cover. Well, I wrote the book. You wrote the book. You see? Okay, so what do you want me to put? Like the first idiot in heaven by God? Is that an improvement? What? I put by Martin Zander to distinguish myself from, say, Clyde Pilkington or Dan Sheridan or somebody else who wrote something else. This writing in this book was done by Martin Zander, just to distinguish myself. It's the relative. It doesn't mean I'm God or I'm Christ. But if you still have not seen the truth of the new humanity, that's what you will think. That's what you will think. You will see the old humanity as a ghost that rises from the tomb, rises from the grave. It was crucified, but not good enough. It still had some life left. Christ didn't do the thorough job, and now it's coming back. And now you're trying to be famous. You're trying to be popular. You're a celebrity now. The guy was worried that I was becoming a celebrity, and then I should go back to being a nobody, to being like, I'm a somebody now. I was telling him, if I'm trying to be a celebrity, I'm doing a crappy job. At the time, I had maybe 800 subscribers or 500 subscribers. Like, I'm doing a crappy job of trying to be famous, dude. And as if I was, I wasn't trying to be famous. I'm not trying to be famous now. I do try to make nice book covers and write good books. What does the guy want me to do? Write terrible sentences, pretend I'm a crappy writer just so I don't touch the glory. Don't touch the glory. Oh, it's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Like, again, how powerful am I? My God. I must be very powerful if I can do that. If I can do that. One more thing. You know, there was a woman that had a concern. It's not a concern. It was just some advice. This is legitimate. And you might be interested in this. She said, you need to keep any money you get from support for the work, you need to keep the ministry money over here and your money over here. And I understand where she was coming from. She's a sweet person, but she didn't understand something, and I explained it to her. And I said, my life is not separate from the work. And I quoted this, to be living is Christ. There's not the ministry and then Martin Zander. I am the ministry. That sounds audacious, and I need to explain that. That was said to me by Tony Smith. We were in Chattanooga, Tennessee, It seems like we were walking, we were behind some old warehouse or something, and he turned to me. And like, I don't know if he grabbed my shoulders, but it felt like, and he looked me in the eye. And we were talking about the work, about the ministry, and he was helping me. And he said, "Martin, you are the ministry." I was shocked to hear it. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "God is using you as you." And then I got it. That would be boastful or bragging if you were still stuck in the old I. But I understood it completely. This is Christ living in Martin Zender, just like Christ lives in you. Paul says, Christ in me. Living in me is Christ. It made total sense then. Because there's no difference. I breathe this work. There's no me and then the work. It doesn't work like that. My heart and my soul and my blood is the work. The way God made me. The way he fashioned my childhood. The parents he gave me. The circumstances I had as a kid. It was all for this. He's the one that made me the vessel that I am. And so what am I going to do? Throw that away and say, well, that was a terrible creation. All those things you did to put me in this position where I'm able to write, where I'm able to communicate, where I'm blessing thousands of people with the truth. That's not of me. That's not of me. I know that. And anybody who tells me that, I get really upset. None of you tell me that. Anybody who tells me that, it's like they think, again, that I can touch the glory. I am insulted by that. It's just so ridiculous. I know it's not me, but I shouldn't even have to say that anymore. And I don't to mature saints. I don't have to say that. It's so obvious. That's why I can use the pronoun I with a beautiful, joyful happiness. I wrote this book. I did this. I spoke at the conference. Martin, you're kind of full of yourself there. No. Oh, you think the old I is that powerful? That by talking about myself, I'm going to follow up God's plans for my life? Dude, Christ is in me. See, with Christ have I been crucified, yet I am still living. You see me here? I am still living. But it's no longer I, but living in me is Christ. And the life I now live, I live in faith. That's the Son of God. And that is a beautiful truth. And I wish that truth for you. I want everybody to feel good. God made you perfectly for whatever role you have in the body of Christ. You're made for it. Don't act like some kind of doormat. Don't act like, oh, I'm nothing. That's the old humanity again. You're digging up the corpse. What are you doing that for? The part of you that was nothing was crucified with Christ. Now Christ is in you. That's nothing? You're nothing? No, you're not. That's the old way of thinking. I want you to think in the new way. Living in me is Christ.